One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Omax Cryo Freeze. More on that later. Let's get into the dew.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it at your mom's house. I'm Ryan Sickler. Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Head there, check out my tour dates, sign up for the email list. TheHoneydewPodcast.com is the website for this show. That's where you go to find out the social media, the merch, all that stuff. And thank you again for all your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. It means the world. If you're new to the show, what we do here is we highlight the lowlights. These are the stories behind the storytellers. And today's storyteller, first time here on The Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Jeff Tate, everybody. Welcome to The Honeydew, Jeff.
Hello. Thank you.
How do we sound?
Oh, this is amazing.
We're right there, aren't we?
No, you nailed it. I love watching people get better at something.
That was my second take at that intro.
I didn't mean it as a burn.
It's true, though. But I did nail the second one.
No, you did. And it wasn't even that the first one was, it wasn't even, it was the, it's the idea that all of, like, starting with stand-up, there's like, it's like getting rid of something that's self-conscious. It's like not feeling dumb, doing something where you should feel dumb.
Yes.
And that was, I like seeing that because it, like, it affirms to me that it's that easy. Like, because it's, I have to still, like I
we're
just
in our own
it.
Way. I hate, yeah, I'm the same way about that.
And then when, and then to see you do it so effortlessly, it was like, yes, you can get, like, to myself, I could, I, when I said it's nice to see someone get better at something, I meant me. I meant, I realized I had just gotten better at something by watching you, by watching how you did it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was meant to be that level compliment. Right. And then when everybody was like, whoa, I was like, oh, what'd I say?
Well, I'm excited to get into this with you today. But before we do, will you please plug, promote everything you'd like?
All right. Well, I am on Instagram at Jeff Tate. It's spelled with a GEOFFTATE. That's it. And I got some shows coming up in December. December 19th at the Highlands Ballroom in Atlanta. December 21st at the Lazoom Room in Asheville, North Carolina. And December 22nd at the Central Collective in Knoxville, Tennessee. With those shows are with Trey Galleon. We'll be having some fun. We're just going to go do those shows. And then we'll, whoever is listening that wants to will smoke weed with me and Trey.
That's what I want to say. It's a collective. So is it it's a weed show or is it a weekend of shows? What is it?
The collective in
you said Tennessee.
Tennessee is just a cool room that'll let us do it in there. They
I see.
Trey knows the owners. They're real nice people. We did it once last year. I was very, very stoned. Trey's from Knoxville. I thought he was from Austin, but I actually thought he was from Philadelphia. But turns out everything was wrong. It was Knoxville.
Clearly.
I've known him for like 14 years. Just found out his name's not Trey. All of this is true.
What's his name?
I can't say his. It's
his
name is Trey Galleon.
I just thought
his. But it's because he's the third, so it's whatever his dad's name is.
Oh man! All right, you got me crying.
we went to the Price is Right this morning. Yeah, like, I found out this morning.
Show the tag.
And Trey was with us. We had to give our name tags to security, and after like a minute or two, the guy comes over and goes, "Trey, do you have another name?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, it's probably under whatever." Like, I didn't even hear him. I was so stunned at that moment of finding out his name's not Trey. Like, I haven't even really had a chance to talk to him about it yet.
That happened to me in my family. I had always had an Uncle Al forever. There was an Uncle John, and then when my dad passed and my grandma passed, and everybody kept this secret, apparently. So I'm now living with my grandmother's sister, my Aunt Marguerite. I'm 19, probably 20, right there. And I say something, Uncle John, and she goes, "It's not your uncle." I go, "What?" 20 years, you know? And I'm like, "Wait, what?" She's like, "What do you say, Uncle John?" I go, "That's what Dad taught us." She goes, "That's because your dad was a good man. That is not your uncle. They never got married. He never this, never that." I said, "They've been together for like fucking four." She's like, "They're not married. They're just like roommates." And I was like, "What?"
And so, then they sat you down and they were like, "Ryan, it's like this." And then you got to watch all three seasons of Three's Company.
So then another, we call him Uncle Al out of respect, but he was a cousin, an older cousin's husband. He was fantastic. I just loved him to death. And he recently passed, but only a few years ago. No, I know what it was. I go to an Oriole game one night, and he's an usher taking tickets. And I go, "Uncle Al, what the hell are you doing here?" You know? And he's like, "Oh, you know, he's retired or whatever." He's like, "Am I off time? I come here. I rip some tickets about sixth inning. I go in. I watch the game." I was like, "Hell yeah, that's a great idea."
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the best part of a baseball game, too.
Yeah.
Gets real tight.
That's right. And then he's got this name tag on. I don't remember what it said. It said something like Edwin or something. And someone comes over and calls him that. And I'm thinking he forgot his name tag. Protocol, they probably have to wear a name tag. So he just took anybody's. I've done that before back in the day. And I was like, "Wait, what?" So I text his daughter, who I'm very close with. And I'm like, "Yo." And she's like, "Yeah, that's." I was like, "What are you fucking talking about right now? His name's not Uncle Al. I'm in my 30s. What are you talking about?
Wait, is not so he wasn't either. He was neither one. He was neither your uncle nor Al.
Correct. Uncle Al, out of respect, because he was fantastic. He was my cousin's, my dad's first cousin, her husband. So we called him Uncle Al, and he was just fucking great. He was great, but his name wasn't even Al.
It should be like a catch-all name where it's like your family, and we're not sure how exactly, but you're just like Family Al.
Yeah, Family Al. I like Family Al.
But was his name Edwin?
Whatever that name was, I don't think I have it right. That was his birth name. Yeah, and that's what everybody else called him. It was like a family name was Al, and everyone else called him like Joseph or whatever. We're like, what the fuck is going on?
Have you thought about the fact that maybe you were Edwin's secret family? Like, he's got another wife and kids in Wilmington, Delaware. Like
that runs deep, though. Yeah. Runs deep.
But he just accidentally got too close to the extendos on the fake side.
Oh, that's how I saw him at the gate. Like, what is happening right now?
He had to make a real quick calculation. What do I do? Just play along. No matter what anybody calls me, Edwin, Al, whatever.
Imagine being 30 some years old and I'm walking into an Oriole game. The whole thing, I'm just looking back. I'm like, what the fuck is. I said, how many goddamn secrets are in this fucking family? This guy ain't my uncle. This guy ain't even Al. I don't know what the fuck's going on.
You're like, Uncle Al. And he's like, "Listen, I was just the kids' club host. I would introduce the cartoons after school. I was on television, kid. I was never your real uncle."
So I want to talk to you about, we had talked a little bit before the show, we talked about your dad a little bit. I'd like to start with that if you're comfortable starting with
that. Yeah, I'm comfortable, do that? Yeah.
So he passed recently.
Yeah, it was little over a year ago, last March. So like a year and a half ago.
And what was, were you guys close?
No, it was, we were in proximity, but there was no getting close. It wasn't one of those. He was an old dad.
He was old when he had you. How old was he when he had you?
38.
Man, I was 41 when I had my daughter. Dial back on that old dad.
No. You're not talking about. You're talking about the wrong thing, man. You're talking about
mentality.
Yeah, because you're 40. You're 41. You're fucking 54 or whatever is never the same as this guy's.
Yeah, I understand.
Right, there are some people that are old forever, and some people that get old quick, and some people that never get old.
That's
and
you can't, very well said.
You can't, like,
should make a shirt on that. Something. Put that down. Mark the time code.
Time code that. 9/11.
That's terrible. It really is.
It'll be the easiest. God,
I'll remember it. I promise you, I'll remember that time code.
Anyway, so.
So, all right, where are you originally from?
I was born in Inglewood, and then I moved a lot, and then I lived in Cincinnati since I was 13.
So, Inglewood out here?
Inglewood out okay. here. Inglewood, California, where and, the Forum is.
And where is your dad from originally?
Indiana, just 30 miles north of Terre Haute, Indiana.
Okay, I know Terre Haute.
There's only two things, a prison and a Indiana State game, or Larry Bird, kind of Indiana State. I mean, Terre Haute sucks.
Yeah, I know of it. I've known people from there. Yeah.
Oof.
So what, talk to us about the relationship with your dad growing up as a kid, what it was like and leading up.
Well, he was a minister. Okay. So it was terrible.
Are you an only child?
No, I got a brother.
Okay. Was he the same way with both of you?
He was like distant or. Yeah. Like, it's not like. It's not like he talked to him. Like, none of us knew how to talk about anything.
Yeah.
He would, I might seem a little biased, but it did seem like he favored one for the other. But it was just, I think there was just like an oldest kid mentality because he was an oldest kid.
Okay. And you're not?
No, I am also the oldest. And his dad, it was very obvious to see where it came from.
Was his dad a minister as well?
No, his dad was just kind of a dick. He had so many kids and he would like pit them against each other and like that kind of like,
yeah,
real manipulative. And so it just created a bunch of like very fragile.
You just gonna let Timmy take your thermos like that?
Yeah, that kind of stuff.
Just gonna let Timmy take your thermos like that.
Oh, yeah, they would let him
fight kids.
They would let him they do that thing, that bullshit thing where like, we'll let you guys settle this yourselves. And yeah. Like, well, that just means whoever's bigger is yeah, right. And not how it works. That's why there's judges. Like, you should have to do something. But he would have them fight.
So your dad's a minister.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How does he meet your mom?
At church.
Okay.
And he got lucky because she was like actually a Christian,
actually,
right? Instead of like involved in some, she got like they stayed together, but he was not a good person or whatever.
Are you close to your mom? Were you close to your mom?
No, it's like just starting.
Okay. Is she still alive though?
Yeah, she's still alive and got so he passed away and then she retired. Her retirement was coming up and he like kicked it a couple months before that, which was like probably the nicest thing he's ever done for her.
Motherfucker was supposed to, he was on the hook for the retirement cake, goddammit. Somebody else is gonna have to get that retirement cake for my party. He's dead.
Just to let her have something to do for a few months before she didn't have anything to do. Like, not, because, man, if she had retired and he was still alive, he would make this, like, he would have just
drove her nuts.
He's a nightmare. He was mean.
Even all the way up until he's dead?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, yeah. So minister, meet your mom at church, they marry, have two kids. Is that all in Inglewood to start?
No,
or is that Terre Haute to start?
They left Indiana, right, or they left Inglewood right away. My dad moved to Berkeley. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that. He moved to Northern California. And I found, like, going back and thinking and asking, like, talking to my brother, like, actually talking about some of this stuff, that I have no idea if any of it is true.
Yeah,
get what of head. Any of it is true. Like, he told me, I thought 100% that he moved to California and he had not yet decided between going to umpire school or seminary school. There was a natural trajectory of him wanting to, his whole career was.
Those were his two choices, umpire school.
Right,
or,
at that point. It was, he moved there from Chicago where he was a teacher.
Okay.
So he had like, he just kept wanting larger groups of people he could tell what to do. So he was like, we have teacher and a principal.
Yeah, and he was you're like, right.
Oh, I could, if I was an umpire, stadiums, I could tell baseball players what
everybody,
to do.
Everybody, what to do, where to go.
But once he realized that being a minister meant that you were still kind of telling them what to do.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All the time, every moment of the day.
Yeah.
That's how he went that way. I mean, he would probably tell you it was for different reasons, but he wasn't much for self-examination.
Were you guys into sports and stuff growing up? And was he, did he show up to those games, anything like that? Did he support anything you did or encourage
you? He would
you?
Be, he would come to the games if he was the coach.
What was he like as a coach? If he was, okay, of course he's the coach, right? He's got to control all the kids.
Well, yeah, yeah. I mean, he can't. It turned out that it was just like, it was like super narcissistic. So that was also a way to like make it about him, like, so everybody would know it's like he, because it was only in the towns where it was like, holy shit. It was only in the places where it was like small enough that they would know.
Holy shit.
Because I just, it's something just occurred to me, like where, when he would be helpful and when he wouldn't. When he would, because if he wanted, if he did that, if he was the coach, then like there, like I couldn't, there was, I liked baseball and I was pretty good at it until everybody learned how to throw curveballs.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah, this is not good. But I didn't get to play the years that everybody learned how to throw curveballs because, we moved like right before the season started or whatever. We moved into the neighborhood after the teams had been
already picked.
Yeah, so there was like, it was always something like that. Like, so there was like 2 years in a row, and then the next time I could be on a team, and I was like, oh man, those don't, it doesn't do what I thought it did. It doesn't look at all like it did the last time I played.
Right.
The balls are fucking curving. We're allowed to do that? I didn't think we were allowed to do that. And it turns out that I should have been hitting left-handed. I see my aiming eye for that sort of thing. Like if I shoot pool or play, I would say shoot a gun, but what I mean is big buck hunter.
The game.
Like one of those where you have to hold one.
Yeah.
I do that as if I was left-handed. And it's an aiming eye thing where you do, and I just knew when I pick up a bat and go left-handed when I was a little kid, he would yell at me, like, you're right-handed, you got to do right-handed, you'll mess it up if you do it the other way. You
tell him to do it both ways.
And now, I mean, but my dad would be, for sure, he was like the last one to get it, no matter what it was. So even that sort of like switch hitting, come on, that's some show-offy bullshit.
Yeah, show off people.
Just hit right-handed like a normal person.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's insane. But it would, like, he was like, oh, like, the like any sort of, like, analytics or whatever would just, he was definitely like, oh, you got to get, It's like you grind it out, like that kind of all bad advice, that old timey bad advice. Yeah.
Walk it off.
Yeah, yeah. No, this is a concussion. You should go home.
No. You should wrap this shit up.
Right, you should go home for a week. Nothing is worth this.
Yeah.
But that would be a bad, I mean, that should be the slogan for the NFL. The NFL, nothing is worth this.
All right. So so he's in the house all the time. You said they stayed together. So he's there, but he's not there. He's not a good dad because he's there, or does he leave?
Well, it's like he was just mad.
Just angry, so like, person?
Yeah, no, like. The things that got me in the most trouble were like, if it was somehow visible, like if somehow somebody knew that it was the pastor's kid was involved, oh my God.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, what that's like.
So if it would make him look bad, oh man, it was a nightmare.
Like if you got caught doing bullshit with four kids, it was always, and the pastor's kid was there. Like,
fuck. Or, you know, if I was like running at the, like where the potluck for the church lunch was.
Yeah.
You know, being a little too exuberant for a fucking baby, for a goddamn 7-year-old having a good time.
Showing, run around the mac and cheese,
right? Like, so I would skip because he didn't say, because I was following, I was always more of a letter of the law type, like let's see how fast I can go without technically running. Boy, he doesn't like it when you start getting cute with the law either. Man, he doesn't want any of that fucking defense. No going fast. It's really about the joy you're showing, because maybe he was in a bad mood.
None of that.
Right? I mean, I was just hungry because everything at a fucking potluck has onions in it.
You don't like onions?
No. It's so annoying. It'll ruin my life. If I had 3 wishes, one of them would involve liking onions. Just because I'm broken. Like, I give up. Because I could make one of my wishes no more onions for anybody. But I'm not an asshole.
Right, I like onions. So I appreciate that.
I would rather, I can make it that I like onions, or that nobody, everybody else, or that they're just gone. What if I had it removed from your memory? Like you never knew about
it. Then I wouldn't know about it. It wouldn't make a difference.
Cool.
That's the thing about people that say to me, it makes me laugh. What if I removed it from your memory? If you did, then I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know any of that shit happened. So, yeah.
I think I would still, like if I didn't remember I liked onions, I don't think that would change my opinion the next time I had some. So it wouldn't even help.
Like them, right?
No, I'd probably still hate them.
Like them, I see.
But what if I didn't? Because I have a feeling that the fact that I don't like onions is why I don't like anything that's kind of crunchy like that. Sneaking into my food. Because my first thought is this is an onion. Somehow one got past the defense. Let's get it back on track. My dad would not let me order from, like, if we went to McDonald's or something, I was not allowed to get mine without pickles or onions.
You had to get it like
that. I had to get it like that, and I could just pick it off because he said it took too long. Meanwhile, it takes longer because they're making mine right then. Fresh. So mine is the newest one.
Yeah, the best one.
You're just willing to eat whatever's at the top of the drawer. Like you're wrong twice. You could have a better burger and look benevolent in the same way, instead of being like, whatever, fuck you, kid. You're a real fucking pain in the ass back there. You pick it off, and then now I got it. Now I just have to push those terrible onions. Now, man, I got no problem. No onions. I'll go back around.
I go, I pick the, and this is completely psychological, and I know it, but I pick the pickles off of every McDonald's anything. Only McDonald's. I'll eat Chick-fil-A pickles. I'm admitting to it's total bullshit, but there was a guy when I was a junior, he was a senior in our class, and his last day at McDonald's, he pissed in the pickle jar.
Oh, man.
And then at the register, he would pick his nose, wipe it on that little digital thing, and then take orders until they were like, just get the fuck out of here. And to this day, I will pick pickles off or order it with no pickles if it comes on. If it comes on and they're going off.
Listen, can I tell you the fact that you're just like, you're like, I picked them off because you won't eat them because you heard a story where a guy pissed in the pickles, but you'll still eat that burger,
the bun,
like,
and
you'll
cheese.
Just throw those pickles away. You'd be like, these pickles might have been pissed on.
Yeah.
So I better not eat just the pickles.
Yeah.
You don't care that the stuff that was pissed on was on the rest of your sandwich?
That cooks out. That cooks out. It's McDonald's, bro. It's but grease, man.
I think it's just like everybody knows that anything that happens on the East Coast is grosser than anything that happens anywhere else. Like, when someone snaps on the East Coast, it's a nightmare. There's just so many more people that when, right, the person... In Ohio, so many people worked at McDonald's that no one ever had to piss while they were at work. The shifts were quite short. Everyone was just working for 90 minutes. They wouldn't even let you piss.
All right.
And so my dad wouldn't let me order it with no pickles. And now he's dead. And I'm not. And I think we know who the real winner is.
Oh my god. All right, as we're progressing through life here, what kind of dad he's coaching? So is this a minister sort of you know, like this profile is he's a minister, he coaches Little League, is it a show, or is it just something he does over here and doesn't?
Well, it's a show because everything's a show, because he was never, and I felt so bad for him by the time I like did enough research on my own, once I started trying to figure out what was wrong with me, and it came to see like what begets the others, like, so I'm not this, like, he's different than his dad because he's like. But to see where he was coming from and be able to look at what his dad and how he was treated,
to understand the dysfunction between
them. Yeah,
and
I felt terrible that I just couldn't help him get over that and have any like self-worth on his own. He didn't have any on his own. He needed like attention. It's why I never. It's why I was always against Trump, because he acted the most like my dad. I was given a front row seat to why this would go exactly the way it's going. For the last 40 years, I tried to tell everybody. He's just like my dad. There's a book called The Narcissist Next Door that I read and was like, the depressing thing about a narcissist to me as a comedian is that they're also goddamn predictable. They're all exactly the same, and they follow the exact same. And it to the point where like they'd be like, oh, here's some roundabout numbers. Like a narcissist for the first six months, a narcissist joins the group. The group has, oh, as a whole, a jolt of energy. That person is very charming. That person wants the attention. So that person is very, very effusive. And it really like elevates morale while also deflecting all criticism and taking all of the credit. but they weren't, nobody's really aware of what's going on. Then there's the second 6 months where they realize this guy just blames us for everything and takes all the credit for himself. And then there's the next 6 months where they try to get rid of the person. And so they say like a narcissist is on average, like they might not get fired, they might not know what to do, but they'll see the progress that's made at the beginning, and they'll start like whatever environment, whatever corporate structure you're in, you'll move. But it tends to be you'll be at the same position then for about 15 months on average. And we moved every 15 months.
You really did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking day they got it right. It was like my dad read this book and was like, oh, I'll just be like this.
Wow.
Let's take a quick break to tell you about our sponsor, Omex Cryo Freeze. So whether you're an athlete, a weekend warrior, or someone who deals with constant joint pain like myself, back pain like myself, or muscle soreness or arthritis, finding a natural remedy that instantly works might seem non-existent. Most over-the-counter pain relievers, such as Icy Hot and Bengay, only focus on one basic cooling effect, such as menthol, which temporarily takes your mind off the pain until that pain returns in an hour or so. If you're looking to get rid of nagging muscle and joint pain immediately while providing long-lasting recovery, then you need to try the natural breakthrough pain relief solution, CryoFreeze CBD, developed by Omax Health. This non-prescription triple action pain roll-on is specifically formulated to block pain receptors, reduce inflammation, and improve muscle and joint flexibility. The best part is this is 100% natural. CBD-powered remedy works its magic within 10 minutes of application, and relief lasts up to 8 hours, which is way longer than the over-counter products. It's super easy to throw in your gym bag and take on the go for emergency pain relief. You simply roll it on over where it hurts and ice out the pain with an Arctic Blast. Omax Health is offering my listeners 20% off a full bottle of CryoFreeze Pain Relief Roll-On, plus free shipping. This discount also applies towards any product site-wide. So just go to omaxhealth.com today, enter code HONEYDEW, and take advantage of this incredible saving. That is omaxhealth.com, and enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide. All right, it's CryoFreeze, an advanced pain relief product line that was inspired by cryotherapy, which means cold therapy. And the treatment exposes the body to cold temperatures in order to numb and reduce pain or inflammation. Your favorite NFL and NBA athletes are using this, like Steph Curry, LeBron James. They all use this on a regular basis. So if you're looking to relieve your muscle and joint pain within 15 minutes and you need a natural yet powerful solution that is tested and works, try CryoFreeze Pain Relief Roll-On. This quick-absorbing, scientifically-backed formula provides pain relief instantly. And if pro athletes use it, well, it must work. So remember, go to omaxhealth.com today and enter code HONEYDEW to take advantage of this incredible savings. That is omaxhealth.com. Enter code HONEYDEW. You will get 20% off CryoFreeze and site-wide. That's omaxhealth.com and enter code HONEYDEW to get 20% off CryoFreeze and 20% off site-wide. Go to omaxhealth.com and feel relief faster. Now let's get back to the Dew. So you leave Inglewood and you go where again first?
Oh, who knows, man. I can tell you here's the names of the places I lived, yeah, but I don't remember. Camarillo, Hawthorne, Campbell, Granada Hills, and Inglewood.
Okay, all over out here.
And and one of them is, I think Campbell is up near San Jose. My parents met in Berkeley. Round about 72, I'm going to say that this is one of the crazier things I'll say. There's a non-zero chance my dad is the Zodiac Killer. Like, if you believe in profiling, he fits the profile to a T. Even to the point where after the Zodiac killing stopped was like right when he met my mom in Berkeley. My dad's really keen on telling people what to do.
You got to look into it then, dude.
All the Zodiac killer victims were people who could be perceived as misbehaving, like out partying, or the first two were like, I guess, were a couple on the beach having sex, fucking making out, dancing or whatever.
It's what you said, enjoyment, whatever. Enjoyment you were having.
So they're
having,
doing they something
to kill it, literally.
Yeah, but he would, but and it was all in the Bay Area, and there's no, like, I can't figure out where he lived then. No one knows for sure.
Your mom?
My mom says that, oh, he's like, oh, he moved here in 72. Like, oh, so he moved here, and then you guys met immediately, and he was going to the seminary. And I believe all of that, except that it's not like he told the truth about everything. So some of it's skeptical. And I don't know, just trying to piece together what got mentioned, right? It's like you watch a real long movie, and then you're like, well, what the fuck was this about? So I start remembering, like, oh, you said you were a bailiff. Well, when were you a bailiff?
Your dad was at one point.
He was in the Army. But I don't know. I can't find
Wayne. Zodiac killer in the Army?
No. I mean, but he was good at not being detected. I don't know if that has anything to do with the Army. But he was like, he might have been in Army intelligence. He said that, but that's also what a fucking
crazy person narcissist will say. Yeah, like, yeah.
He was probably just cut potatoes and was like, oh man, I would put codes in them. And then just, you know, if they figured him out, I'm a spy. Anyway, what I mean is, I don't know where, like, I've done
prior to 72,
like, just trying to piece it together, all the things he told me that he did and when he did it, like, suddenly thinking about them all, it was...
Do you think he really stopped killing in 72 and never killed again, or do you think he killed again and just no one knows about that yet? I know you've thought of this.
No, I mean, what I would like to think is, no, I don't think that, I don't think if he did that he didn't, I think that he found it, because it could be like, oh, well, I could just tell this lady what to do forever.
Why am I killing them all?
Yeah, why am I killing people who are having a good time? I could just make sure.
People never do that again.
Yeah, I married this lady, like, what's... I can't fix everything in the world, but God damn it, I'll make sure this lady never listens to Creedence Clearwater Revival again and only listens to goddamn talk radio forever.
Is that what it was like? He was always doing that?
Man, I was like 20, like 19, 20, and they were showing those like VH1 had Live at the Hard Rock Cafe, and John Fogerty played a show. John Fogerty had a solo album out that year. It was being pushed real hard until it came out and MTV realized, oh, we can't use any of this. This is for old people.
Yeah.
But he was on it. He played the show, and then my mom walked into the room or by the room or whatever and knew the song, and it blew my mind, and I had no idea. And she was like, oh yeah, it's that, what's that called? Credence? And I was like, what? How the fuck do you know Credence? I never thought anybody ever.
I thought you only knew Paul Harvey.
Right, I thought your all's favorites, like Limbaugh, man. They listened to Rush Limbaugh from back when he was only on in like Sacramento. To be like a hipster Limbaugh fan, like I remember when he was local. Like, that's real trash.
There was a point when he was. I mean,
yeah, but to imagine being my dad and hearing that in the '70s and being like, "Fuck yeah, I'm with this guy." And then ride or die with Rush Limbaugh for the rest of your life.
Yeah,
that's a drag.
That's
you know what I'm doing? That's you know different. What? My brother and myself and my ma are going to see Elton John next month.
That's nice.
Yeah, like there's like whatever she wants. Like
now, where is like, she? Where does she live?
Cincinnati.
So you said your relationship with her is just beginning.
Yeah, it's like.
So you have an opportunity to find out more about your dad then, maybe more than you know about pre-72 is what I'm saying, if you ask the right questions, and maybe she has those answers.
Well, no, we've talked about that.
And she doesn't know anything.
All she said was,
like
he told her that he moved there in 72.
Listen, though, how old was
he? No, I know, but he told me, that's not what he told me.
I would say, what the fuck did you do for 22 years before you moved here, you know?
Yeah, he or was whatever. 30, age. He was 32.
Even older.
But it's 1972. You don't know. There's no such thing as the internet. My mom's not going to fly back to Evanston, Illinois and go through.
Who doesn't give up 32 years of their past?
But that's what weird. What I'm saying is that he did tell her what he did up until then. But what he told me he did up until then didn't match up.
I see.
What he told my brother didn't match up.
Oh, like, he told you all different shit?
But it's like. It's
everybody
like,
got the
but it could just be things are backwards or whatever, but I'm not saying there's a good chance. I'm saying that there is a non-zero chance. What I can tell you is that if they're still looking for the Zodiac killer, they're looking for someone who's a lot like my dad.
I got it. Yeah, I got it.
If you think you found somebody, bring me in. Let me question him. I can tell you whether or not he's a lot like my dad. I'll just show, if you're wondering, show them an article from, say, National Geographic or Scientific American that claims climate change is real, and watch them tell you that it isn't and that that's not a real source. And then you'll know that guy's just like Jeff's dad. So right there, you probably got him. That's a Zodiac killer. That's how you got to turn the tide on climate change. If you're against climate change, you fit the profile of the Zodiac killer. Do you want to take the risk you're not properly alibied? Come on. Just be for climate change. And then we'll know you're not the Zodiac killer.
That's all.
Climate change.
That's all.
You're either for it or you're possibly the Zodiac killer.
It ain't this guy. It ain't this guy. He drives a Prius. Next!
Right, and then his mustache regrows as he gets in his Prius. He just pours gas out the window. I still waste it.
I still waste it.
So, I'm fascinated by this because I read this story about a guy who decided his dad was like in the LAPD. And one of his dad's hobby cases after he retired was the Black Dahlia murder.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he, did all this research, and he was always kind of following the Black Dahlia murder all through his career, too. So this kid grew up with his dad being, kind of obsessed from a distance of that murder. His dad was one of the beat cops when they found the bodies who had to, stake out the neighborhood.
Area, yeah.
So he thought that's why he was following it. So he just kept researching it after he retired. And then figured out that his dad probably was the Black Dahlia killer. That's the ultimate conclusion he came to. And then I read that, and then I thought, well, that's crazy. Imagine being that guy, and you're just like, oh, my dad's really into this. And then I thought, would that, how could that even happen? What could my dad possibly, what if my dad's, I said it in my head as a joke. This is if your dad was a Zodiac killer. And then I thought about it and was I kept coming up with reasons why he wasn't, and then none of those held. he wasn't in San Francisco because he was in San Francisco, in Illinois, or still in, and you're like, oh, now I don't know. Was he back in, because I thought he was in San Francisco area. All of, it all kind of, and then just generally he knows that he, maybe the first time he killed somebody, the people on the beach, he was just like, hey, don't fuck. That's
one of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Too much fun to have and still get to heaven. And they were like, fuck you, old man. And he was like, but I'm 24 or whatever. And he was like, no, but inside you're really old. He's like, oh, I get it. And then he murdered him because he was mad, because he for sure didn't like to be questioned. When he made a statement, them's rules were the rules.
That's it.
No fucking on this part of the beach.
Or
don't
I'll
break
kill
those
you.
Rules, right? Because we have talked about it, because I did ask her. And, I go, do you think, I got this idea. I was on the phone and I go, will you ask dad where he lived in 1969? And she goes, why do you want to know? And I go, because I got this idea that he might be the Zodiac killer. And I want to see if maybe he was still in Chicago or whatever when they started, then I could put that to bed. And you know how most people would be like, you're crazy, I'm not going to do that. My mom was like, hold on.
I got an old journal. Hold on a second.
Yeah, she just goes, hang on, and then goes and asks him, where did you live in 1969? And this was like...
He's like, Chi-town!
He didn't... No. He didn't... He didn't I mean, answer. He did it he was like, he could narrow it down. But this was like after he for sure had, I didn't uncheck, unlike diagnosed, but looking back, probably dementia. Alzheimer's, dementia, okay. Something like that. But he didn't, this was one of the earlier clues too, was she was like, well, he doesn't, he's like Chicago or San Francisco. And I was like, oh damn, that's
those
so close to getting him off the hook. I'm trying to alibi him for something. Is there any way? Does he have any receipts? Does anybody receipts. I'm sure he made a scene somewhere. Does anybody remember? Did someone try to play the Beatles at his favorite ribs restaurant and 5 years after they brought Ed Sullivan? Like that, he's the kind of person that would still be mad about the Beatles.
Right now.
Right. Well, no, by 69. By 2018, he had forgotten about the Beatles. I can't even like, I wonder how long, I bet it had probably been 15 years since he even was like, oh, the Beatles is a band. Like that much of a thought, like any idea, like it wouldn't even, they don't advertise the Beatles on Tim Allen sitcoms and
no.
Sean Hannity. He knows how to turn his cash into gold and he knows how to reverse mortgage his rented condo.
So he gets dementia, Alzheimer's. That's what got him.
Ultimately it was his body just like shut down.
How old?
78. Like just like natural causes.
Did you go say goodbye?
Yeah, yeah. No, I like moved back to help my mom take care of him. There was like a year, maybe less than a year, somewhere around there where he was I was like making sure he could just get to the doctor and stuff, and then she decided to go to work. Then he went into this like rehab facility for a while and didn't do. And then I had to go there every day. I was basically, I would have to go there and meet his rehabilitation, his therapist, physical therapist, and do the rehab with him. He wouldn't do it if somebody wasn't there to make him.
That's great.
I know, but it's still
but in like, all those car rides and all that sitting with him there, you never started asking any of the questions you really wanted to ask? Did you ever take...
No, no, man. He was a dick the whole time.
Didn't change at all, even
at
through
all,
that.
Man.
Nothing that didn't soften him either that he knew he was checking out?
No. Wow. No. He was still... We've joked about this. Like, my mom and I have joked about this. There are two types of people in this world.
Here we go.
The person who is grateful anyone is willing to clean shit off their balls.
Yeah.
Or the person who will complain about how it's being done. And he was the second. The cleaning shit off his balls is a given. He's entitled to that. He was such a... He was like,
all the way to the end.
All the way to the end. Damn. He never thought about really anybody else. Like, he knew... And I don't even think, but it wasn't until a few years ago that I stopped thinking it was just because he's a dick. Like, once I started reading the books and I saw the way he was and then the way that his dad was with him and with all the brothers, like, man, it's, I get it, yeah. But you can learn from it or be just like it. I mean, that's right. Why I have, like, as much as I don't, like, I don't know if you get political on the show, but as much as I don't like Donald Trump, I have less respect for his kids.
Why do you say that?
You can't tell your dad to fuck off, but it turns out he's a fucking asshole.
Yeah,
like,
I see what you're
saying. You can't. So you, like, because there's no amount, like, they've been doing this forever. And I have way more respect for people who have been like, fuck off. I guess it's, you know, if I knew that I wasn't being left any sort of legacy, I got nothing from my dad.
Yeah,
it's a lot easier to tell him to get fucked when you realize he's kind of dumb. When
in all those times, any of those moments, there wasn't a 2-minute conversation where he ever softened up and just said "I love you" or reminisced about anything that he liked or anything. Nothing.
No, he would like. He spent a lot of time together. He said "I love you" all the time, but it meant the same thing it always did. It meant it was words, man. His actions made it clear that it's contingent.
Yeah, I get that.
It's contingent upon, like, I love you because I'm in a good mood right now.
Right.
And it's like, well, I mean, that doesn't count. Like, once he, like, it was okay. Like, we, like, I mourned our relationship years before he died. So it wasn't, it was like, there's something ironic about the, like, our relationship got better as soon as he couldn't, like, as soon as he stopped being able to think. Like, he didn't want to, we just, like, it was easier to just watch TV or whatever, Family Feud.
Right.
Because then it was like, it was more predictable. What he needed was more predictable, became simpler. So it was easier to keep him in a good mood.
So you told me that you were drinking. At what age did you start drinking?
Probably, 18?
18, okay.
Maybe, I think I had my first boozy drinks the night I graduated high school.
And what were you drinking?
Those were Bartles and James.
Yeah, that's what I started on, those wine coolers.
Yeah. I know, that'll get you.
That's exactly right.
I mean, in retrospect, those wine coolers and that Camel, that Joe Camel thing, they're probably right about that it's just made for kids.
It is made for kids. There's no doubt. That shit was so fruity, and you were like, this is sparkling water. Tastes like flavored sparkling fucking water, that shit.
It tastes like poorly mixed icy. Yeah. Like, with too much of the red stuff and not enough of the rest of it. So you get, you're fucking zooming. Oh,
so
man.
Did your drinking, did it get worse? What happened?
No, it turns out I just never knew how to have any emotion. So drinking was like a way to.
That was your escape?
I think it was a way to let them out. Instead of still, like, you could get rid of them and have some, but I didn't have any control over it. Like, I would just get drunk and it became.
But how often? Like, nightly, weekly?
What? Oh yeah, all the time. Like, as really? Soon as I do anything, I do it all the time. Like, that's my problem.
That's hilarious.
That's why I had to get rid of everything except weed.
Okay.
And I know that but, like, I still have, there's, like, so many stops before your life is actually ruined, right? I still have, like, get a regular job as a stop.
Yeah.
And I don't even have to do that yet, so I'm fine. Did that make sense?
It totally makes sense. It makes sense. You're doing great.
Well, I've never sent a text message I wish I could get back stoned.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You're right.
I've never ruined. I might have not started relationships because I'm stoned, but I haven't ruined any because of it.
Yeah.
there might be a few never wases, but whatever.
So you drinking got to a point where what you how many years how were you started doing this did you go I to st- rehab
I stopped,
or anything?
No but Never. I stopped drinking because it's the same mentality. Like, I can the itch I was scratching wasn't it didn't need to be alcohol, it just needed to be something.
Got it.
So it's like, so it's very easy for me to not have the first drink.
Okay.
It was always. And it wasn't even that I would get, like, hammered every time, but I just hated it when I did. It was never good. It just made time go by.
Yeah.
Different. And there's way better ways to make time go by different.
You're right.
So I stopped doing it. So I just stopped.
How did you stop? You just said, fuck it, and you stopped, went cold turkey like that? Or did you try and stop a few times?
No, I just did I didn't really have a chance to, like, I was on the road and I was driving a lot. And so I made it, like, right then, like, oh, I'm going to stop smoking now, or stop drinking now, because I just can't be driving a rental car in fucking Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah.
I can't be responsible. Like, what if, like, I can for sure just have three beers that night, but I could also think I could for sure have three and end up having nine, and this is the beginning of the tour? Come on. So I would just be like, all right, I'll get stoned once I get to the hotel. because that's easier to do.
Yeah.
You just have to do one thing once. You don't have to do a one thing a bunch of times.
Show's over. I'm going to stand out here for 5 minutes. So I'm good to go.
Yeah, yeah. And back then, I just started getting those pens, so they still worked. Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't really work anymore. They don't. Nothing happens.
I don't trust the pens, any of them.
I'm glad that I'm out, too, like, to find out that those bootleg THC ones were the problem. Easy.
No.
I knew smoking weed was better.
The plant. Always stick with the plant. It's the one thing that works. That is it, man. That is it. Have you ever gone to therapy?
Yeah.
For what? For everything?
Yeah, or for what, everything.
What made you say, I'm going?
I saw myself doing it exactly. Well, I got divorced in 2010, like towards the end of 2010.
Okay. How old were you when you got married?
28.
And how long?
And now it sounds like when I say 28, after I said 2010, it sounds like I don't know how numbers work. So I was 28 in 2006.
2006.
And we got married. I was 32 in 2010. And we got divorced.
Okay.
And why?
Why'd you get divorced? We're jumping around a little bit.
Well, emotionally, we were not fulfilled. Like, I didn't know that. It just wasn't working. And I didn't know what to do different. Like, I didn't know that I wasn't emotionally available. I had one marriage to know about and use as an example. And what I tried to do was be better than that. And I was fucking way better than that. But it still doesn't mean that it's good, right? Better, just because it's better doesn't mean it's good.
That's right.
Right? I have a whole fucking 10 minutes about dominoes that explains just that. Yes, it is better. How about you try to make it good?
Yeah, thank you. Somebody just ordered Domino's, and I was like, this is shit.
I don't think it's shit. I still like it. Is better. It is better.
But yeah, how do you like it if it's not good?
It's better.
The one I had was shit.
Well, my bit is always about it's not about the pizza at all. It's about why are you decided to say you're going to make it better, and you could have also decided to say you're going to make
it
good.
It great.
Yeah, you could say great. Yeah,
you could.
Nobody's making you. I didn't say this is better.
Yeah, right.
You know what? This is better. you don't have to
strive for fucking excellence. You all just strive for, like, the next step.
I'm assuming that whoever's writing this, there's not even a Domino's pizza in the same room. It's just a guy thinking about Domino's. And then he writes out, you know what? I'm just going to go with better. No promises. Yeah. So that's a
low pressure situation.
So that has nothing to do with how I feel about the pizza.
Except that you do agree it is better.
It is better. It is better. I mean, if he had said this pizza's good now, I wouldn't sue him for false advertising. I would ask him about how much pizza he knows about. I'd be like, have you ever had, like, I would do a couple of those.
Yeah.
You ever have, what about this? Like, and he's like, oh, I've just had Pizza Hut and then pizza I found.
Pizza, like, oh, I found.
No wonder you think Domino's is the best. I wrestled a rat for that one piece of pizza. It's better than that. Remember Pizza Rat, mm-hmm. Right? Don't bite my finger.
All right, so we get a divorce, and we decide now we're going to stop drinking and go to therapy. Is that
no,
right?
No, different.
No.
That was the first time I just got drunk for a while and just kind of, like, leaned into it. And part of it, sometimes it felt like because I had the excuse, I was going to use it. And that's, like, hindsight. I never really, like, once I thought that at the time, that was when I kind of was like, I should probably slow this down. And then after I had another, like, long relationship that did not end well.
After your marriage.
After my marriage.
Okay.
And I started, like, really not having any control over my drinking again, just getting drunk a lot.
And what were you like drunk?
I was fine until.
Were you a talkative drunk, a fun drunk, an angry drunk? What were you drunk?
I mean, yes. Any of those were possible, and it was like,
I guess they all always are.
Right? It's roulette, man. We have no idea. Right? You pull the string, and you don't know which noise for sure is going to happen. But it's going to be one of these, one of these six things, like in Toy Story when you put there's a snake in my boot. Sometimes there was a snake in my boot.
Yeah.
And I was going to be real, real fucking agitated all night. And it was all like I was doing a lot of things. I learned a lot going to therapy that I try to do like regularly, like decide, like just deciding. Like it seems too easy, but I just like a lot of times I have to just tell myself, no, this is going to be fun. And then it is fun just because it's, I don't really like crowds, but I used to let not liking crowds make decisions for me. And now I just use it sparingly. Like, what's worth it? What is this worth it? Like, this is worth it. Like, if this is going to be dope or if this is going to be what, but also like I can just leave. Like now knowing that you have so much, like with Uber and stuff, it's so much, everything is so much easier.
Like, oh, it is. Yeah.
So I don't, you, that feeling like trapped or whatever, like any of that, like anxiety type stuff is like alleviated now that I just know my exits. Like, you know how like you plan your, like James Bond will plan his exits, whatever, Jason Bourne, I mean, or whatever, whichever one you like, he'll plan his exits. Like I do that from home before I get to a place or go somewhere. I'll be like, all right, here's a couple ways. Like if it gets too much, here's a couple ways you can, couple ways to get out.
Okay.
Right. And then it just makes it easier to just know going in. Like
I have a plan.
I have a plan. Like I got to go, I do have to do this, or like I can, if you say it like this, like be ready.
Well, I'm glad you went to therapy. I would, I mean, if I had to guess, a guy with a background like yours, you probably, I would think you wouldn't want to go to therapy or even think that was an option, but maybe you hit a point where you're like, fuck, I just need to talk to somebody. We don't ever talk. You said earlier in the episode, like we didn't talk about any of this shit.
Yeah, I hit that point. So there was a part of me that was worried that if I went to therapy, it would, I would get better and then less funny.
Isn't that weird? Yeah. You do worry about losing your edge. It is dumb.
And I had to reach a point where I didn't care. Where like when I started seeing a therapist, I decided that I was gonna do it even if that was true. Like I guess I'm just might not be funny anymore. But turns out that's insane. There's like a tortured artist thing that keeps you stuck in your, in this idea of like, well, I decided to be a comedian, so all of these things kind of go along with that, but there's no rules to any of this, so I don't have to do, you don't have to do anything you don't like. I saw a career counselor at the same time because I figured if I wasn't going to be funny anymore, I better figure out how to get a fucking job.
You were that worried about it, huh?
Well, I thought, here's how it really started, man. Have you ever seen that TV show called Friends? Everyone has seen it. Yeah, it's very popular.
I've heard about it.
So Chandler.
You mean Friends on Netflix?
Yeah, Friends on Netflix. It says, I think it's about some kind of weird alternate universe where everybody was worried about other people thinking they were gay.
God.
That could be what that show's about. And enough of it is about that that people are like, damn, is that really what this show's about?
If you cut all those scenes together, yeah.
Man, I mean, come on.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Chandler, I saw this thing where Chandler like hated his job and went to see a career counselor, and that's where I heard about career counseling.
So you heard about career counseling on Friends, and you
Well, I wanted to see. I felt like when I saw that, I was probably, you know, I was in a hotel room somewhere.
Yeah.
Doing some gig where I wanted to, I would be like, oh, I wish I was dead. But not because of the gig, just in general.
In general.
That's how I was feeling.
And a career
And I saw that and was like, oh, so that, so, and then Chandler's on TV and he's like, oh man, I'd rather be dead or whatever. I'd be like, what? Is this one about me? And then he's like, oh, I went to find a career counselor to see what other job I'm suited for. And then the whole punchline of the show, it's the same job that he had. And the fact that it wasn't stand-up comedian, because his background is like his parents got divorced when he was young. His dad became a transgender woman who leads a cabaret in Vegas. Like his mom's a romance. Like if you like, it would seem like, and the way he acts around everybody, if a career counselor is ever going to tell someone to be a comedian, it would have been him.
That's your call, huh?
Yeah. And I thought, well, I guess it's because it's not really a job. Like, you just shouldn't do it. So I was like, maybe I'll go to a career counselor and be like, I'm a comedian. What kind of, because the career counselor, the main thing is it's worth it for like an just one
session.
Yeah, well,
tell me what you do. You get there and what happens. I've never been to one.
Mine was a little bit more, like I saw her eight times, maybe six. But like, because I had no idea what it even was. But what if you want to go in and do it just once? She'll help you. She helped me. Took being a comedian for 14 years or whatever at the time, how to put that on a resume so it sounded like I could do whatever job I was asking for. Like all this stuff where it's like, oh, I don't do anything. Like, I don't know what, like, do I have any skills? What are the skills I have? And she's like, no, you're really good at this. Like you could be someone's travel agent. And I was like, oh yeah, I could. And I was like, she was like, yeah, because you're your own travel agent. You know how to do it. I was like, I do know how to do that. And so like, she starts making these lists of like, these are these jobs you can have.
What, like, was there anything that you were like, if you had to settle, what do you think it would have been?
I started looking at copywriting jobs.
Okay.
Because you're writing little jokes about, because it's the kind of thing where the amount of funny you have to be about a tractor. Oh man, it's so easy to be that level of funny. They don't, it just has to have the appearance of, it has to humor. Be a breezy sentence.
Right, that's
like
right.
That's
breezy's it. Perfect, yeah. <It's>,
So I went out and was like, and she was like, well, here's what you do. Go find somebody. Just listen. Like, I bet you, because I would see her every other week.
All right, wait, hold on. What's the weirdest one that you've qualified for? Or that
It was really not.
No, nothing.
None of those real specific things. Like it was, like we wrote down. There was like, well, and that's it. We kind of skipped a few steps. Then like they took, you write down everything about your job that you like mm-hmm. and everything about your job that you hate, and then you make and you put both of those things in piles, and then when you start thinking of jobs and you start looking at what's out there and you just see like how many of these things can I do, and then how many of these things can I avoid?
Okay.
And you try to find a job that has more of these and less of, more good, less bad. And then one day it like clicked. So I'm extending my network. She told me about copywriting, advertising. And that one seemed immediately like kismet, because that's what Chandler ends up doing. Like 10 years later or whatever, I'm Friends. And I was like, damn, it just like, it felt circular. And I was like, I think I know some people that do this. And there was a few other ones, but I really went into this because I would go out to these offices and meet these people. And it was really, it seemed depressing, but some people are complain about it. Some people dig it, but it really seemed like it could be exactly what you want it to be. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to get mad. Like any time where you could just listen to your headphones. That's and your job is to think about stuff. Come on, you're really going to complain about anything? Whatever. So I went to someone's, then I met that person's boss, and then they just have like a meeting or talk to him or whatever and be like, this is what I'm trying to do. if you have, you know, and then sometimes the idea was that at some point there would be, you just build out a network in the same way that everybody that does comedy eventually knows everybody. Like there are people in your circle and in your circle's circle. And it's like, as you go out where you're like, I can't believe that, like, we just literally, it's not that hard to know so many people. Like it tips to where you're like, I can't believe I've never met Dave Attell.
Right. Yeah.
Like, and that's where I'm at. Like when I think about it, like it's probably just Dave Attell. I've never met him. Don't even know how has it happened? But everybody knows everybody in every business. Every basketball writer knows each other somehow. So everybody in advertising in Cincinnati, they like all kind of knew each other. And Cincinnati has a pretty good advertising scene right now. Like independent, like new shingles, whatever. Like there are several cool like advertising firms in Cincinnati. So I met several people, built that out. And then as I was like getting further in, and there was like, okay, so if you do this, and then I'm building out, making my own portfolio, and then possibly being brought in for like contract jobs or whatever, that kind of stuff is like how I was like shooting for that while I was still doing stand-up. Like this is, we were developing this like plan for transitioning positions. And then one day I was just looking at the list of things, the pros list and the cons list, and I realized I don't know why I even do any of the things on the cons list. I don't have to do any of them. I don't have a boss. Why is there any part of this job I don't like?
Yeah.
And once I realized that, I was like, I think I found out the best job. I'm going to do stand-up, but just exactly how I feel like it.
Right.
Like, and then if that doesn't work, then we'll talk about this advertising thing.
So you always got copywriting to fall back on.
Yeah, well, at least I have a plan.
Yeah, and that's a great job, and it keeps you in comedy, too. It keeps you thinking, it keeps
you
writing.
And you can do it whenever. Like,
I mean, yeah.
I just needed to be, I feel like I needed to be shown. It was like Scrooged or whatever. I needed to be shown that, like, you just do this for so long and you build up all of this baggage and this, like, because you're, like, walking into a headwind. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, I guess it had just been a while since I'd looked up and cleaned off my face.
So are you enjoying?
That's very descriptive. Oh, man. But you get the idea, right? Like, I didn't realize that I was all covered in shit.
I got it.
Yeah. I shook it off, but now I realize.
Since reconnecting a little more with your mom and your dad's passing, you find yourself enjoying stand-up more, less, the same? Is it?
I just find different things are, I just feel right now like something is happening in how I do it and what I think about and what I talk about. But it's been going on for a little while. And I think it's because the stand-up was, I spent a lot of time doing stand-up simply to figure out how to say things to my dad where he would have to listen to the whole idea before he could start shouting about it. And now that I don't have that, I haven't written any ideas in a while.
Okay.
And that, it doesn't concern me, but it makes me wonder, like I just noticed, that's all, is I noticed, and I wonder what that means. Probably nothing.
Did your dad ever see you live?
Yeah, he loved the attention. He only ever got mad. There was one time he got mad because I made it sound like he was a bad Republican.
Oh, he don't care if it's a bad dad, but don't you dare call me a bad Republican.
Bad dad, bad husband, bad minister.
None of that bothered him.
Bad teacher, bad Republican. He got so mad.
Why? What did you say?
Oh, I made a joke about how he was against how it's like it's hard to find somebody on Medicare who
is against
like it's like a special kind of person. It's like a special kind of selfish to have that and be against. You just don't want other people to have it. You're not against healthcare. You're just against other people's healthcare. Like that's a shitty position. But he took that position gleefully, and boy, when I said that, he did not. Mm-mm. I was a political science major. Yeah, in the 60s, dipshit.
You heard about maybe that after the show. Maybe. Yeah, right. Maybe.
Now that you put a maybe on it, it makes sense you think some of this stuff. Because some of this stuff is fucking nonsense.
Oh, man. Well, thank you for being here, dude. This was great. I appreciate it.
We just talked about my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
No, we didn't. Look at your list up there. Your dad died last year.
Oh, damn. You're good at this.
Complicated relationship. You've been divorced. You quit drinking, went to therapy at the same time.
Oh, man. We did all of that.
Covered everything. We just talked about my dad.
You're like the guy on the shield that can break anybody.
Well, thank you for being here. I really appreciate you covering everything you said you wanted to talk about.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, man. My hands are a little clammy, but I still want to shake.
Brother, please, will you and give me that back? Yeah,
there we go.
Will you one more time promote whatever you'd like, please?
At Jeff Tate on Instagram, Just Another Clown. I will be on some of those. When does this come out?
In a few weeks.
In a few weeks. I'll be out with those. Tommy Segura in Grand Rapids and Columbus and whatever that run is. I think one of them's in Canada. So if you're in whatever town we're in right before we go to Canada, meet me outside and help me smoke all my weed. And if you're at the one that's in Canada, meet me outside because I don't have any weed anymore.
Thank you again for coming on, Jeff. I appreciate you. I'm Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. We'll talk to you all next week.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.